Now, books are a great chance for kids to develop their understanding of themselves and others, but what happens when not all are in or find themselves represented in literature? There's a new study that's found close to 20% of children's books available, only that amount, in four different childcare centres featured non-white characters. So the majority featuring white characters. Dr. Helen Adam is a lecturer in literacy education and children's literature at ECU. Helen, thank you very much for coming in this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tell us a bit more about how you went about this study.
Okay, well, I had four childcare centres who agreed to be part of the study, and I'm very grateful to that. It's pretty brave to open up your practice and your centre to someone like me. So in terms of the books, I went in and I actually looked at every book that they had, every child's book available. So there was 2,413 of those. And for those, I analysed them using a couple of instruments from researchers overseas. So the ones that are reported in this particular paper are around what reflections of cultural diversity were present in the books. So that's where I found that only 2% of the books actually reflected the lifestyles or viewpoints of a non-majority culture. And another 16% had some reflections of diversity, but usually those characters were background to white characters, or they were sort of stereotyped or made to be exotic.
Are they recently published books we're talking about
here? There was quite a variety. Quite a large number are older books, which is quite common in childcare centres, and I think that's something that we need to sort of, or I know it is being looked at by most people, realising that older books may not reflect society. But a lot of the newer books also had similar issues, and then some of the books that portrayed the more stereotypical aspects were some of the newer books that had been produced perhaps by educational publishing houses deliberately or intentionally to address this gap, but focusing on things like celebrations and clothing and food. And if there's the problem with that is if that's the only book representing a particular group, then it portrays just one viewpoint, you know, like the different stuff instead of, you know, ordinary everyday contemporary lives that people live in our community today.
So it's like when we have multicultural days at school sometimes.
Yeah. Well, those things have their place.
Yeah.
But if they're the only time we actually think about or talk about diversity, then it becomes a focus on what's different and what's special and what's exotic rather than these people, you walk into a supermarket, you walk down the street, we're all there. We're all we say we're all Australian, and yet about 25% of Australians are invisible in children's books or stereotyped.
My guest this morning on ABC Radio Perth and WA 16 to 6 is Dr. Helen Adam. Helen's from ECU, been looking at diversity in kids' literature. Do you, when you looked at diversity there, so that's ethnic diversity, is there a case, an argument that you could look at socioeconomic diversity
Absolutely. Yeah. I wanted to look at everything. But when you do a study like this, you do have to narrow it. But I do have the data there, and you do notice these things. So, you know, it was very much white middle class values and white middle class representation. And even the interesting thing is almost 50% of the books were animal stories. And if you look at those and then analyse those through the lifestyles and the activities and the social cultural demographics that are portrayed, even through animals, they're actually reflecting dominant culture, lifestyles and viewpoints and ways of life.
How do we work out the, I suppose, what would be a valuable distribution of
Look, I'm very diversity. reluctant to ever go and say authors need to write this, that or whatever. In fact, the children's authors in Australia that I know, and I know, you know, I do know quite a few in my circle, are very passionate about, you know, equality and reflecting diverse lifestyles. It's more about what books actually get published as well. And getting that groundswell, there is a groundswell movement around the world called the We Need Diverse Books movement, and that's being driven by the voices of the parents and families and communities around the world of these backgrounds saying we need to see ourselves in books. So it is gaining momentum, but it is quite challenging. There's a lot of problems with the challenges in the publishing industry. And I've even been contacted in the last 10 days by authors and illustrators saying, do you know how hard it is to get these books published? So, and then it's a matter of parents, educators, families being aware that these books are there, looking for them, calling for them, and then getting them into the hands of children.
It's, as you mentioned, it's quite a complex matter, isn't it? If you've got publishers that are, you know, finding it tough,
yes,
and then headed toward a, tend to focus on a particular direction for sales, then that changes the dynamic a little bit, doesn't it? Makes it even more difficult. What do we lose, do you think, if we don't have the degree of diversity perhaps that we could?
Well, I think, you know, I think that's a really important point, and that goes for all kinds of diversity. You know, like I've listened to some of Dylan Alcott, you know, our fantastic wheelchair-bound athlete, and his calls for this, and he says you can't be what you can't see. So, you know, and I think that's a really important thing to realise, that we want children to be able to see who they are and what they can be in the community and in the world. And so when we've got such a huge range of children, you know, we're such a multicultural country now, and children that just can't see heroes that look like themselves and see role models that look like themselves. And I think that's what we lose. That's what we need to remember and be calling for.
All right, what's next?
For
this, in terms of this line of study, what?
Well, this is really the first paper out of a really big study that I've done, so yeah, there'll be plenty more coming later this year. It takes a while to write all these things up and to get them published.
Yeah.
But
will you expand the...
Yes. So I have other studies that I'm looking at now. I am with Dr. Sally Murphy from Curtin University. Actually, we're looking at award-winning picture books from the last couple of years, where we're looking to see, well, what are the recently published books? What do they say? What do they look like? And going into that angle.
Yeah.
And then a few other projects sort of taking this further and looking at what's out there. And also, what are the authors and illustrators saying? And then what's the community of Australia saying? We know from groups like the We Need Diverse Books group overseas, and then in Australia we've got the Love Oz group that are calling for these books, and I'd really love to talk to some of these people, these groups, and get the voices of those who are behind these calls.
And just to make it clear, you're not diminishing the value of the books that are there. You're just saying we need a broader range.
Absolutely.
It's
not about taking any books away, because we never know exactly what it is about a particular book that speaks to a child.
Mm.
It's more about, well, what books are missing? What do we need to add to accurately reflect the society that we're living in today in multicultural Australia.
Okay, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
Dr. Helen Adam there, and Helen is from ECU.